This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. China. Much in the news these last years, the Chinese miracle. Chinese manufacturing. It needs an export in order to balance the books back home. But the manufacturing part is of great interest. How do they do it? All those machines moving in one direction to load up the container ships and sell. I welcome John Kitch, Assistant Professor of Instruction and Assistant Director of Academic Experience in the School of Civic Leadership, University of Texas at Austin, writing most recently at Civitas Outlook, the publication of Civitas Institute, about a new book by Dan Wang entitled Breakneck, about Chinese manufacturing. John, a very good evening to you. There are no secrets here. They work very hard. They're roboticizing as much as possible. However, I understand from your remarks about the book that Mr. Wang makes a distinction about engineers and lawyers. How so, John? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. It's great to be here with you. Wang's argument, in brief, is that the Chinese state is dominated by engineers, both literally the highest ranking members of the party over the last 40 or so years, have all been trained as engineers. And he contrasts that with American society and American political culture, which is dominated by attorneys, by people that went to law school before they got into politics. And that's sort of where he kicks off his comparative analysis.
The engineering part, I'm interested to hear what it is that he finds to be either compelling or delimiting about China and engineers. We know the economy is troubled. We know the Central Committee is in charge of operations that they don't like to talk about. We know that numbers can be confusing, but still, yes, they turn out sometimes very high-end product. How do they do it?
They do it, in Wang's telling, by making plans and executing on them very quickly. They are, in his view, the engineers that run China, good at directing large amounts of resources into particular sectors. And this can sometimes dramatically increase economic output. I think it's helped China rise up the value chain. The downside is bigger, though, in Wang's view, and I agree with that, which is that treating political problems, which are human problems, with a kind of purely technocratic mindset is not going to get you the right answers. You cannot over determine solutions for complex human problems. And so Wang feels, and I agree, that this causes China's leadership to be too rote, to not have enough of an imagination, and to be brittle in their decision making.
A detail here. The sometimes complaint about China is, I think they call it factory floor overcapacity. They produce too much. Does Mr. Wang, I'm looking forward to interviewing him in the future, does he take on that criticism that the machine once started doesn't have a sense of proportion?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't recall if he mentions that phrase exactly, but he certainly does have a sense that China's economy is directed more at increasing output than it is at kind of right sizing or producing the exact mixture of things that would be most beneficial to the Chinese economy or society. I think his sense is that the Chinese government wants to kind of always crank up the economy in the sectors that it chooses, but it does not do a very good job thinking about the side effects or the downsides, right? So one example he uses is that during COVID, the Chinese leadership made a decision to go away, I believe, from the financial technology sector, the banking sector, and shift all of the leadership, or perhaps most leadership, most of the jobs, into other sectors. And this caused a kind of cascade of negative consequences that they'd not anticipated.
Moving to the American metaphor of lawyers, how so? I'm not a lawyer. You might be, John. I don't know. But what is what does this tell us about our economy? I think it's called services.
Yes, that's right. So the role of lawyers in American society, in Wang's view, is that we are very good at establishing regulations and processes. And often these are effective. They can often protect civil liberties, often help us arbitrate disputes in the economic sector and in other areas of life. But what we also do, in his view, is we overprocess things. We put up too many regulations. We often think more about compliance than about the end goal. And so he would like to see an American society, an American economy that is more dynamic, that considers process as one important thing, but that is not dominated by kind of micro and esoteric legal concerns.
Over the last 40 years, it is self-evident that the manufacturing in America has attenuated at the same time we've moved overseas, China, but other countries in Asia, other countries in Africa. Does he regard that as a success of capitalism or not?
That's a great question. He views increased productivity that comes through better technology to be a good. He talks about the way that the economic transformation China has modernized Chinese cities and improved living conditions. But he definitely wants to encourage American leadership to do more to bring manufacturing back onshore. I think he wants to create more manufacturing jobs in the United States. So he sees a kind of a high side and a low side of the way that technology has changed the American manufacturing sector.
If this was a straight up competition between World Trade Organization members, where there was no cheating and there was transparency and the courts actually had a hand, it would be easy to say that China has a better model. Does Mr. Right. Wang deal with the doubts about the Chinese system and the doubts about how they treat the workers in the system? For example, I do not believe they vouchsafe any unions, completely different from American and European approach.
Yeah, great question. He certainly highlights some of the serious economic and human downsides of Chinese central planning. So he has a whole chapter dedicated to the one child policy and how that, on the one hand, harmed China's economy, but much more deeply created a sort of series of human tragedies. I don't think that he addresses issues like unionization. He certainly, on the one hand, has a sense that, you know, to be a worker in China, to be a person in China, your freedom is much more limited. You're less likely to be able to advocate for your own interests. But he has this ambivalent quality to the work, too, where he mentions that, you know, his parents immigrated from China, first Canada and then the United States. And he comments that their standard of living is maybe not as high as some of their friends back in China. And I believe he says it's not clear they made the right choice. So this, in my view, is an example of him focusing a little too much on material conditions and less on, you know, the sort of really deep value of political liberty and of freedom to a human life. So I think he's trying to be sober and balanced in his assessment.
Reflecting on his case, as he makes, and your experience of these last years of friction with China, is there an answer in this book to the discord that we see today? I could go through it, but you know what it is. Or are these rivals going in different directions? They're going to produce and not talk and surveil everybody, and we're going to produce and talk and surveil no one. Is that where we're headed, in different directions?
So first, I don't think there's an answer in this book to the U.S.-China rivalry and the tension that exists there. To be fair to Wang, I don't think he's trying to answer that. I think he's trying to imagine ways to put the American economy on more competitive footing with China as he sees it. My sense is that we probably are going in opposite directions, but that it'd be too simplistic to call this merely a new Cold War or merely a military competition. I heard Robert Gates speaking here at the University of Texas last week, you know, and he, as much as anyone, is concerned about how hawkish China has become, how aggressive and sort of dedicated they are to remaking the world order in their image. But even Secretary Gates said it's hard for him to imagine we can entirely decouple our economies. So I think we have something that looks a little like the Cold War, but that is going to be more complex over the next, you know, decades or century.
So Mr. Wang is not discouraging in your reading?
Yeah, I think that's a good read. I would describe him as ambivalent. He sees some advantages that the U.S. system has to China. He sees some kind of, I would call it, tactical advantages that the Chinese system has. I think what he wants most deeply is, in his view, more economic dynamism in the United States and more humility from the Chinese leadership and their planning.
John Kitch, Assistant Professor of Instruction, Assistant Director of the Academic Experience School of Civic Leadership, University of Texas, writing at Civitas Institute. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.